This is President John Adams, and you're listening to Derivative.
I tend to say the same things.
Derivative.
These maniacal fans, and they write jingles.
It feels derivative.
I don't see the point in writing your own jingle when you can print somebody else's.
It's more like Weird Al, but it's sort of better.
This is extremely derivative.
It is bad, and it is done with total confidence.
Very meta and annoying. And derivative.
Not original, uninspired.
I'm derivative as hell.
Hey everybody, it's Jerry. This is Derivative, and today's episode will be either the first or the last of its kind. This is a single jingle show. We're going to talk about one song and one jingle. The song, A Little Bit of Everything by Dawes. The jingle, He's Afraid of Everything, currently a work in progress. Now this song, when I first heard it, I was just blown away. I had been familiar with Dawes from I think Sirius XM, I'd heard maybe All Your Favorite Bands once or twice and thought the lyrics were clever and fun. When I heard this song, I'm sure I cried. It just knocked me over. This song, and I'm going to play a little bit of it here because I've been led to believe by legal advisors that as long as you play 1 minute or less of a particular track, and especially if you break it up with critical commentary, you're free to repurpose that because there's no way you can listen to this episode and like reverse engineer this track that you could buy otherwise. I encourage you to go buy this or listen to it on Spotify so they can get their 1/1000th of a cent per play. So this song, let's just go ahead and I'm going to start playing some of the first verse here. And what we're going to do is I'm going to play a little bit and then I'll talk about it and then we're going to go and talk about the jingle that corresponds. We'll see how this goes. I'm trying this live here. I haven't actually tested this, so hopefully this works out. So here is A Little Bit of Everything, verse one by Dawes.
With his back against the San Francisco traffic, on the bridge's side that faces towards the jail, setting out to join a demographic, he hoists his first leg up over the rail.
I'm going to pause it right there. Already, what I'm loving about this song is the vignette storytelling nature of it. And this song is structured in such a way that there are three little stories that coincide with this main theme of a little bit of everything. And right there, we have someone who's contemplating suicide, who's potentially going to be becoming part of a demographic or a statistic as he stands on the bridge. So let's continue.
A phone call's made, police cars show up quickly. The sergeant slams his passenger door. He says, hey son, why don't you talk through this with me? Just tell me what you're doing it for. Oh, it's a little bit of everything. It's the mountains, it's the fog. It's the news at 6 o'clock. It's the death of my first dog. It's the angels up above me. It's the song that they don't sing. It's a little bit of everything.
So that was the end of the chorus, or I'm sorry, the end of the first verse and the chorus. That first time I heard it, I just loved the way that that transitioned from that desperation and sadness and this person who had lost all hope, really describing that it was because of everything, the mountains, the fog, just these minor details, the news, some traumatic, you know, death of a pet. But the lyric that really jumped out at me, only because it challenged my expectations, was that the angels up above me, I thought the next line was going to be the devil down below or something kind of that, because this song has a lot of duality and give and take. But then to go from the angels up above me, it's the song that they don't sing. That really got my attention. I said, oh, this song is going to be different. These lyrics, this writer, Taylor Goldsmith, this is exceptional. And so I was then totally invested in everything else that happened after this. So let's move on now to the next verse. So that first vignette, that first story is about this person who's lost all hope. And now we're going to transition to an older man who's encountered some terrible things in his life, but maybe has some hope for the future.
There's an older man who stands in a buffet line. He is smiling and he's holding out his plate. And the further he looks back into his timeline, That hard road always led him to today.
As somebody who listens to music with an ear for jingles, this song I remember pretty early on, probably not the first listen, but upon re-listens, caught me as a potential jingle because the first verse is about bridges and the second verse already is talking about an old man. So I made a mental note that, hey, you know, this could be something to file away for the future because, you know, Taylor Goldsmith has already written half the lyrics for me. We got bridges and old men. This is going to be a piece of cake. All right, let's continue.
Making up for when his bright future had left him. Making up for the fact his only son is gone. And letting everything out once his server asks him, have you figured out yet what it is you want? I want a little bit of everything, the biscuits and the beans, whatever helps me to forget about the things that brought me to my knees. So pile on those mashed potatoes and an extra chicken wing. I'm having a little bit of everything.
One of the great things about these songs by Dawes is their ability to both move me and then also make me laugh. That line, I'll have an extra chicken wing, I busted out laughing the first time I heard it, while still being totally engrossed in this story of this old man who is now trying to embrace everything in his life as he looked towards a more optimistic future. Just such a silly little lyric, but that's a hallmark of the way that these songs are written, where there's usually some clever twist or something in there that you don't expect, but that adds some color and humor to an otherwise sad or more melancholy situation. This song has just such a sad feel to it, and yet these lyrics here are much more hopeful. So I'm going to skip past the musical solo here. Let's go on. To now, we're going to hopefully have timed this right. We're going to try to play now the last verse into the final chorus. So, two little stories so far. This person contemplating suicide, now an older man at the end of his life trying to embrace every little bit of everything as he looks forward to the rest of it. And now we transition to another story that also kind of surprised me.
Pretty girl is writing invitations.
All right, somewhere, pretty girl is writing invitations.
To a wedding she has scheduled for the fall. Her man says, baby, can I make an observation? You don't seem to be having any fun at all.
I love that little four lines there, and I thought I knew where this verse was going now. As you say, you don't seem to be having any fun at all. This man is going to help remind her of what's so important in life and love. And that's not where this then goes at all.
She said, you just worry about your groomsmen and your shirt size. And rest assured that this is making me feel good. I think that love is so much easier than you realize. If you can give yourself to someone, then you should.
Such a perfect line.
Cause it's a little bit of everything. The way you choke, the way you ache. It is getting up before you, so I could watch you as you wake. So on that day in late September, it's not some stupid little ring. I'm getting a little bit of everything.
The lyrics for that, the way you joke, the way you ache, all the references online say that that's the way you choke, the way you ache. I guess either of those could fit in there because it really is just different things that you're appreciating about somebody else. But I, as I mentioned, you know, a few seconds ago, the twist from me thinking it was going to be the man saying, hey, you know, you're putting all this work into these invitations. Is this really so important? Remember, it's about the marriage. And then just the snapback, like, you just worry about your groomsmen and your shirt size. I know what I'm doing here. You have no idea what this is about. That just completely took me for a loop. And that was probably the moment of the song where I was like, oh, this is so moving. Now we're going to go and We're going to play the final chorus here. And this, as much as I like the previous verses and choruses, this really to me cements the song in and encapsulates everything that it's about. So let's play this here. It's about 40 seconds of content under our critical commentary threshold.
It's a little bit of everything. It's the matador and the bull. It's the suggested daily dosage. It's the red moon when it's full. All these psychics and these doctors, they're all right and they're all wrong. It's like trying to make out every word when they should simply hum along. It's not some message written in the dark or some truth that no one's seen. It's a little bit of everything.
That last chorus really cements the whole thing. Particularly the line that really I love most about it is just the most random thing. The suggested daily dosage in the red moon when it's full. That little minor throwaway line encapsulates, to me anyway, I mean, this song's pretty literal, there's not a lot of depth you gotta try to interpret, but just the absolute random minutia of daily life, that one little thing of taking medicine to feel better or following guidelines about what to take, it's just so small and random, but it fits so perfectly in this, and I absolutely love it. And then, you know, bringing it home with the final few lines about how there's no grand mystery and there's not some great truth out there. It really is just all these things coming together that, you know, either bring you down or lift you up, and it's just a little bit of everything. So, as I said, the song is pretty literal. I did go looking on the interwebs to see if I could find some grander meaning, maybe something I missed. And I found a note from Goldsmith in a UK interview said, here's the quote, "I was just excited about taking a phrase that I could use for a guy who was trying to explain how the world weighs on him, and at the same time, for a guy explaining what he wants to eat." And that's obviously, that's what the song is, right? Just this one little idea that can be twisted to different, you know, experiences and allow you to tell stories. But one thing I think is very relevant to Derivative in my experience over the last couple of weeks is this quote here. So in another interview, someone asks him whether this song is autobiographical or whether he's just telling stories, you know, how much is his story versus other stories. And so Goldsmith says, "Little bit of everything expresses my outlook and perspective, but none of my personal experience." It says, "I want to be a good artist and write a good song, but I also want to be a good dad, husband, well-rounded, happy person. Maybe it's hokey, but I want to figure out how to toe that line. There are artists who tear themselves apart to achieve that result. I feel personal experiences are important, and it's easier to get into that mode if you recall some terrible heartbreak you've experienced, but there's a chance you'll sabotage yourself to recreate that same thing. Artists talk about their loneliness and solitude, which is real, and I don't want to downplay it. Some great songs come out of it, but we all pursue songwriting or art to figure things out. We don't do it to put ourselves on display and ruin our lives just for the sake of doing it. To me, that's so backwards, and you're doing it for unhealthy reasons, potentially." And that's interesting, because I think many people that write songs, there's a catharsis in dwelling on some feeling or experience. What is that therapy thing? ETM? Or whatever, and there's things that you do to try to relive an experience and then let it go. And many of the depressing songs I love, that seems to be what the artist was doing. But when I'm writing jingles, it's not a catharsis. I'm not usually writing about something sad. It's usually something ridiculous. But it is a tortured artist, you know, like that experience. I tend to take something and obsess on it for a few days, weeks, or months until I get the idea out, get it on paper, and particularly get it recorded. There are many times where I'll be driving and I'll write something, and for the next 20 minutes when I'm driving home, I'm just chomping at the bit to get up into my little studio here and record it just so I can have it out and have it down and move past it. And so on that topic then, now the jingle version of that song, "He's Afraid of Everything." Now here we are 15 minutes into the show, we're finally gonna get around to a jingle. Was that experience. So I had started getting back into piano recently after trying to play All Your Favorite Restaurants, the All Your Favorite Bands parody, which is a Dawes song. And I was trying to do that for a little virtual jingle fest just for fun for YouTube. And after I did that, because it's like three chords, I said, you know, this song is fine, but the Dawes song I really like that I should really try to learn how to play is a little bit of everything. So that's kind of what led us to this moment. But because it is about, there's the three vignettes and it's about different stories, I felt like a 5.5 minute jingle, while I could do it myself to get this out faster and to really make sure that it was comprehensive, I wanted the support of Little. So I put something on Twitter. I'm just take a sip of water here. And ask for ideas of things that Tony would be afraid of. Because I had this idea that, much like that song, I could tell three different stories about Mr. Tony's life and things he's dealing with and group them in some way so that I could have a little vignette of something he's doing and then a chorus that ties into themes about that experience, just like the original song. So what I'm about to play here is the end result of that. And I'll just go ahead and play the jingle, and then I'll play it all at once, and then I'll go back and we can then talk about what maybe stood out for me about that song, and you know, hopefully you'll enjoy this. So now that you've kind of heard the background of a little bit of everything, here is He's Afraid of Everything.
There's a bearded man who's driving on the Bay Bridge. His eyes are closed and he's holding his breath. There's construction, so this trip's especially dangerous. One wrong move and he's plunging to his death. His car phone rings, it breaks his concentration. He screams, Alexa, Siri, Google, take this call. Terrified of all these innovations and scared of learning how to use them all. Oh, he's afraid of everything, going overboard on a cruise, shopping in Rehoboth, but they're all out of boat shoes. It's a flight without a Xanax or ice cream without a sink. He's afraid of everything. The same old man is home now in his driveway. He sees an Uber car, it's been parked there for a week. He says, man, I wish these poors would see things my way. What gives them any right to public streets? He heads out back to see if his garden's ripened. He finds mashed tomatoes all over the place. There's a baby deer, she's trembling and she's frightened. He's petrified and frozen in her gaze. 'Cause he's afraid of everything. Hungry squirrels, falling trees, an inch of snowfall in December, getting taxed by AOC, of putting netting on his planters, then getting trapped in all the string. Oh, he's afraid of everything. There's a little girl who's walking past a bookstore. She asks, Mommy, can we please go inside? When an older man stumbles out the front door, his cape is torn, his hat reads PTI. He blurts out that he used to be a writer. And the hotel clerks, they all knew his name. All at once, the girl's mom is there beside her. With awkward smiles, they slowly back away. He's afraid of everything, like staying past
last date, like not hanging it up before they make him go away. He's not getting any younger, and every day he shrinks. Oh, he's afraid of everything. He's afraid of everything. ATMs and ATVs, like dining out in public while they all watch you as you eat. All these phobias and neuroses, they're enough to drive you mad. It's like getting trapped in a parking lot because they don't take cash. It's an unplanned vacation for saying what you really think.
He's afraid of everything. So I think that amazing songs can make half-decent jingles. I'm pretty happy with how that turned out. I want to thank again everybody that gave me suggestions on Twitter. That last joke there, what was that? It's an unplanned vacation for saying what you really think was inspired by the great Bill LaHecca for referencing Tony's Red Boots Hannah Storm incident. And that was one I would not have thought of. The idea that he's afraid of getting in trouble at work. I think that's an awesome observation. And I actually had an earlier incarnation of that final verse about that very idea of being in trouble with lawyers and corporate bosses and all that stuff. So I'll play that maybe as the outro of this podcast. But now let's focus on what did make this initial draft. So the first story, I wanted to tell something about Tony being afraid of bridges, planes, and water. So we have a story of him up on a bridge, and there's only so much I could do with that. So then this other idea of him being afraid of technology, I thought I could maybe tie those two things together. And then that chorus is about that same idea. And what's funny is with many of these jingles, there's often a line or two that comes to me before I even write it that as I say, oh, I got to make sure that gets in there somewhere. And for this one, it was that line, shopping in Rehoboth, but they're all out of boat shoes. That was the one that I wanted to make sure, no matter what I did, no matter what the song was about, that line maintained, because the idea that you would be afraid of running out of buying a pair of shoes that you already own, like 10 pairs you've never worn before, just seems so ridiculously hilarious. The second verse now, we're transitioning to Tony back at home, and we're going to talk about two things that he's complained about in the last calendar year, the Uber car parked in the street in front of his house, and the obsession over the past few weeks of podcasts, apparently squirrels and deers and animals eating his vegetables in his garden. This one I really like because I've seen on Twitter, there's a euphemism I had never seen anywhere else. I don't actually know if anybody speaks this way, but a lot of times people will sarcastically talk about the poors as a group, like poor people and or the rich, you know, like the rich and then the poors, but just adding the S to it to me is just so ridiculous. And so whenever I see that, I think that it's meant to be a joke, tongue in cheek, like rich people talking about poor people as a group of folks by adding that S. It just sounds so pretentious and absurd. So when I had a chance to throw into a jingle, of course I'm going to do that with a one percenter perspective on the poor by referring to them as the poors. And then the chorus of this one then gets into nature and animals, and I threw in a line in there about AOC taxium because it just rhymed really well. And then the last vignette here is something I've visited before. One of my favorite jingles to write was also a story jingle, and I'm sure I've talked about this on previous podcasts, the parody of the Yazoo song Only You. And it's all about Tony wandering in front of the Browse About bookstore, basically giving lectures and PTI to pigeons and talking into a tin can, thinking it's a telephone and stuff. And so this is very much that same idea. So hopefully this isn't too derivative of my own work. But I thought I would frame it a little bit differently. So like that story of the woman and her husband, her future husband, talking about the invitations and vows, this is about a little girl who's shopping for books, and then this crazy old man with a cape and a hat walks out of the store. And then this is all about him fearing growing up and losing his job because he gets too old, and shrinking, and everything that he talks about, all those little neuroses around age figure into this last one. And then the final verse, just like the Matador and the Bull and the daily dosage and Red Moon When It's Full, this was meant to be my grab bag of great suggestions from people that hadn't made it in there earlier. So there was a suggestion that he's afraid of ATMs, he's afraid of going to parking lots that don't take money, that he hates eating out in public when people stare at him, and then Laheka's thing about, you know, getting fired for saying what's on his mind. And so that's the final verse here, is you know, this idea of just all the extra little things that are bouncing around inside of his head, driving him nuts. I'd incorporate those together. So let's see, I think that is all I wanted to talk about with this song. I am currently working on a full band version of it. Through the various freelancer websites, I was able to get some piano, as you just heard there, and a little bit of bass. I've got a drummer who's supposed to deliver something the next week, and then I'm hoping, just for fun for the summer, that we're going to have a little bit of a music video or something. We'll see how it plays out. Should be done in a week or two, that I can put up on YouTube and have a little animated version. This song was so story-oriented, I thought it would be fun to draw or animate these little stories. And so I've got a whole storyboard for what this music video should be. I don't know that it can possibly be done for the small amount of money that I raised through the Patreon and the t-shirts and stuff. So I've commissioned an artist for a low fee. We will see what comes out of it. I'm excited just that there will be something to share besides just me yodeling into a microphone and doing lyrics. So I hope you like that. I'll be sure to mention it here or on the various social media channels when that's available. So that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this. I will continue to work on these. I've been listening to Tony a little bit more as sports start back up. It seems like every single episode is about squirrels and deer, so I'm making good use of that fast forward button. maybe I need to focus a little bit more so I can really embrace the nuance of updates on the tomatoes and squirrels, whatever. But you know, it seems like that is fodder for a bunch of jingles. I saw Brad already had a pretty funny one up there. So next time I yak about jingles, I'll be sure to feature some of these amazing tomato-oriented jingles. So that's it for me. Thank you for your support. I always appreciate the email, the tweets. I've gotten a lot of feedback from folks over the last few weeks to keep doing this. So if you're listening, if you enjoy this, thank you so much. If you've sent me a message, I really appreciate it. I get them all. I don't always reply. I don't always see them right away. But everything you send me, whether it's a DM or an email, I'm going to see it at some point. So all the positive feedback is appreciated. Let's keep this going, and thank you for listening.
Yodeling in front of a store at the Delaware shore, I see an old man asking pigeons if he has enough time, and now his carpet hotline is a tin can. All he wanted was $1 million, but Window Nation wouldn't pay that much. So Tony's talking to only you. Walked out on a 2-year contract to start his own podcast with help from Harley. Now he's talking into a shoe, asking Barry's Veluga, where are we? Waves his arms as he screams and shouts, scaring families at the browser about. Tony's talking to only you. Tony. Ask Cap RIAA of people who use orange or the letters T and K. All these lawyers and advisors, they may be right, they may be wrong, but it's really not worth finding out over some stupid little songs.
It's like an unplanned vacation for saying what you really.